This is ESPN Crick Info.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final edition of Talking T20, Vitality T20 Blast UK edition. And we are, I'll tell you who everybody is in a minute, but we are in the immediate aftermath of a thrilling final in the Vitality T20 Blast here at Edgbaston. To my furthest right, I've got the new kid on the block, none other than the mighty Matt Roller. Matt, thank you ever so much. This is your third time on the show. Great to have you back.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be with you as always.
And is it your first appearance?
It's my debut, actually. Yes.
It's your debut?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Paul Edwards. It's the doyen. It's the man with the words. You may have read many things of his in Crick Info, but we are here not to be reading anything. We are here to be talking, and what a day we've got to talk about. We're going to skip briefly over the semi-finals because the news is all about the victory for Worcestershire in the final of the Vitality T20 Blast. They got there this morning by defeating Lancashire in a pretty easy fashion. Wow. Sussex, they defeated in the final, and Sussex themselves overcame Somerset. Huge surprises there, just the score that Sussex managed to amass, 202, the highest score in finals day history by an individual, Luke Wright. The highest score at Edgbaston on a finals day by Sussex when they got that 200+. But they came to the final on a pitch that was still, I thought, pretty decent for batting Paul Edwards. And in the end, it was a bizarre, almost shambolic end to the game. Sussex were in it all the way through the last couple of overs, and then suddenly the wheels fell off.
I think a little bit of pressure told on Jofra Archer. The conventional view, the conventional view will be that he will be the better cricketer for that. But he won't feel like that for about 6 months, I wouldn't imagine, after that last over, which Ben Cox milked. And it's been a Ben Cox day, hasn't it, really? 101 runs off something like, 61 balls, if you put the two innings together. He took down Toby Lester in the semi-final. Now he's taken down Jofra Archer. Let's remember he was dropped by Worcestershire from their championship side. But this is a night he'll never forget, and one's delighted for him. One's delighted for Worcestershire. They're an unfancied county, but also a very, very popular one. No one dislikes going to play at New Road, and I'm just overjoyed for people like Darrell Mitchell, really.
Roller, is it Roller? I don't know why, I can't help but call you Roller. I think it might be your age. Is this the most picturesque T20 final imaginable? I mean, Worcester against Sussex, the glorious spire of Worcester against Sussex by the sea. Two teams, frankly, that are hugely popular amongst neutrals. They coincidentally both wear sort of sky blue. It's hard to tell apart when they're out there on the ground. But I think people were very delighted to see Sussex here as well because of their tremendously splendid bowling attack that they've got. And with Luke Wright, you know, he's a man it's impossible not to like. You've got to feel a bit sorry for them, haven't you, in the final analysis. They've been superb at the back end of the T20 Blast this year, winning, was it 7 out of 8? It looked like it was going to be ultimately 9 out of 10.
Yeah, something along those lines. I mean, it's been a tournament for the romantics, really, I think, especially with the obvious backdrop of the 100. And you have to bear in mind that I think Darrell Mitchell's off to Loughborough tomorrow or the next day to go and play in one of the trials for that in his role as PCA chairman, the poor man. But he, you know, it's been a fantastic tournament. Luke Wright said after that second semi-final how great it was that we had two non-test match counties in the final. And if you look at the teams who have succeeded throughout, even the, you know, Somerset, Gloucestershire, sides who have done well throughout the tournament, but maybe fallen just before the final hurdle, it really has been a tournament that has rewarded those smaller teams, those so-called lesser counties who have, you know, performed above expectations throughout.
Let's just jog backwards a little bit because it has been a very long day and there needs to be a little bit of context. In order to understand the final and how it was played out this way, we saw a kind of pattern developing, didn't we, in which runs were scored up front, power plays were yielding around about 9 and over for much of the day in the 6 innings overall, and then the slow bowlers were coming into it. And we've talked an awful lot on Talking T20 this year. We've had Leggy Watch, we've been looking at those slow bowlers, and Zahir Khan for Lancashire excelled. Matt Parkinson for Lancashire in that first semi-final. Sussex's brace of spinners, Briggs and Will Beer, were hugely effective. Moeen Ali's been taking wickets all day. This is in part, is it, Paul, because it's the back end of the season, or is it actually that T20 is a format that, much to the surprise and consternation of people who predicted that it would be the end of the spinner all those years back when it first started, actually rewards bowlers who do something different for batsmen that can't set against them?
Well, I think it rewards spinners who are intelligent and who vary their pace and vary their lines. I think that a lot of people have been talking about the dominance of wrist spin, but in this finals day, and yes, it has been a long day, but it still is Saturday, though it's 11 hours since they tossed up for the first semi-final.
Please don't remind me, I'm going to get to Stansted after this.
Well, jolly good luck, but no doubt, but I assume you're driving. Jolly good. But I think, actually, finger spin. It's been a lovely day for Moeen Ali, who's taken, if you put his figures together, 5 for 46 of 8 overs. And they were very, very important spells that helped to restrict Lancashire and then played an important role in restricting Sussex to only 157, when people were thinking that batting lineup with Evans and Wright after his semi-final performance would actually get rather more than that. So it's been a good day for finger spinners, but they've got to have a little bit of intelligence. And I think the other theme that comes out of today, and in a sense it links to what Matt was saying about these two counties, is the role of enjoyment. And you look back to, I know we're talking about T20, but let's think about the man, Moeen Ali, for a moment. You were out in Australia last winter.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
He wasn't enjoying his cricket very much. And yet he's fought his way back into the Test side, and now he's captained a side to the T20 Blast. I bet he's enjoying his cricket now. And having seen him, you know, in a championship game at Scarborough, but then seen him play today, 41 in each innings, 5 for 46. What a great story. I'm delighted for him.
It's fantastic. I mean, he might be the player of the day. Cox might be the player of the day. Luke Wright might have been the player of the day. He scored more runs over the two games he was in than anyone's ever scored on finals day. These are, I mean, in the case of Luke Wright and Moeen Ali, vastly experienced players. Luke Wright has scored 70 20-hundreds. Nobody else except Chris Gayle has got more than that. There are a few other people who have scored seven, but, you know, that's how long he's been around playing. It was his 300th T20 match today. He's another guy who loves his cricket. It made for a lovely occasion. It made for a lovely final. It had all the sort of beautiful qualities of county cricket, that the romanticism that we want to invest in it, that it's not a snarling, raging, horrible sport like some others that are out there, that it's one populated by gentlemen. And yet, you know, there was also some seriously quick bowling on show today. Sussex, their three pace men, Timmel Mills, Jofra Archer and Chris Jordan, at various points today, Matt, were all clocking over 90 miles an hour. It was fearsome stuff. It was a great, great spectacle of cricket today, wasn't it?
Yeah, and just to throw another name into the mix there, you talk about people who are genuine quick bowlers, and you look at Pat Brown, he took 4 for 36 across his 8 overs over the course of the day. He's kind of a guy that I think, not only will England be looking at him, I think they'll be looking at him more seriously than some guys who have taken wickets in this competition over the past few years. Because he's kind of a sort of souped-up version of Benny Howell. And that he's not only...
I like that a lot. That's exactly what he is.
He's not only got a knuckleball that he uses a huge amount. He probably bowls every other ball more or less.
66% at one point today. He'd been bowling knuckleballs. Yeah.
There you go. But also, on top of that, he probably has that extra yard of pace that Benny doesn't have. And he's been working with Stephen Jones, the specialist fast bowling coach this year. He was kind of plucked from obscurity, despite the fact he's still young. He was found on some sort of pace camp at Wellington School in Somerset. And the statistics about him are unbelievable. He's turned 20 over the course of this tournament, and he's taken 31 wickets in it. 21 of those have come in run chases, so he's held his nerve impressively for a young man. And bear in mind as well that he was the guy who conceded that winning boundary in the Royal London Cup semi-final against Kent and was distraught after that. And that's the sort of thing that can, you know, really ruin a career as a young bowler. You look at people
I thought it showed
past.
A bit. His first ball today, I was on commentary with Kevin Howes in a Five Live Sports Extra Box. We were watching him as he came on to bowl his first ball today in the semi-final. It was the one bad ball he bowled. It was a poor full ball down the leg side. It went for wides. Thereafter, it was almost like he sort of said to himself, he did a little routine. I don't know if you noticed. After he bowled that first ball, he went back to the top of his mark. He hitched his trousers up and down, and then he pirouetted in a 360-degree turn and then came charging in. It was almost as if he was just saying to himself, I'm going to get myself together here because this is a huge occasion. And he did. And he was, for me, given all the people we've talked about, you're right to mention him, given all the people we talk about, Mills, Archer, Jordan, we've been talking about them all season, the most consistently impressive and hardest to hit bowler today, for my money, was Pat Brown. And at 20, he also had a quick ball, didn't he, Matt? I mean, it wasn't just, as you say, it was souped up Benny Howell. It wasn't just knuckleballs. When he decided to go quick, he went quick.
Yeah, and throughout the tournament, you know, originally we looked at him and we thought, you know, this is a 19-year-old guy. He's taken a few wickets in the first few games. That could just be one of those things where occasionally, you know, guys hole out to fielders on the boundary. That's the sort of thing that happens in T20. But when he's been as consistent as he has for such a prolonged period of time, and remember, this is the longest T20 tournament out there, you know, it's lasted 133 games over 10, 11 weeks, something like that. I think I saw a stat earlier that said for any bowler with over 15 overs this calendar year, he's got the best strike rate out of anyone at 10.3 balls per wicket he takes, which is an unbelievable effort, and that's better than genuinely any T20 bowler in the world, you name them.
On that, right, it's so brilliant that you should suddenly start hurling a load of numbers at the talking T20 audience, because what's the chances of this happening? But walking in to our podcasting environment is none other than Andy Zaltzman, who has been scoring for the BBC today. Because we're in a very tight spot, you're going to have to come in and crane your head round.
Okay.
And aim here. We've only got Andy for 4 or 5 minutes to say, but I want you, in the time we've got you, to give us a barrage of some of the best stats, not just of the day, but of this tournament as a whole. This is going to be...
Right. I left my notes next door, so I'll try and do them off the top of my head.
Go and get them. You can go and get them.
Well, they're all kind of...
All right, do them off the top of your head.
Laurie Evans became the first player to hit 35 in 10 innings in a tournament outside the IPL. 5 players have done it in the IPL. Okay. Laurie Evans the first to do it in a non-IPL tournament. We had Pat Brown... setting a record for most twofers in a T20 tournament.
Brilliant stat.
Shows his
Brilliant.
Consistency. I think it was 11 twofers and outstanding nunfer in the final as well.
In many ways, I think that nunfer probably won them the title in a way that the twofers really just got them to the final.
Yeah. But just Ben Cox in the semi-final and final. Slow starts, and then 31 off 10, or 31 off 11, and then 33 off 14 or something in the final. Extraordinary performances. And Moeen Ali, the second player ever in the history of all T20 competitions.
This is a good one. I know this one. Go for it. Drum roll.
To score 25 or more and take 2 or more wickets in both the semi-final and final of a tournament, and that's out of 172 tournaments. And the other guy to do it, who was it?
Jan Smuts. I don't know if his first name is Jan, but I've decided it is. Yeah, there's an airport named after him. In 2016, Eastern Province.
I think they've changed it, haven't they?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Yes, it would make sense. It's also the most run-drenched tournament in the world for any tournament that's had more than 10 games.
All in all, what it's crying out for is a new tournament that is a considerably worse format, because it obviously isn't good enough.
Have you enjoyed today? It's felt like it's been it's kind of weird games today. You know, exciting, and yet somehow ending rather damply. Even the final, because I thought the final was going to take us all the way through to a nerve-shredding finale.
Yes.
And yet... Suddenly, the whole thing just went pear-shaped in the space of one ball.
Well, I think
we
learned a valuable lesson, and that is when your opponents need 16 off 11 balls, don't bowl a beamer that goes for 4 byes. That's a good lesson to learn.
It's a good lesson for all the kids out there, and I know there are a lot of children listening to this. Do not bowl the beamer in that situation. Now, obviously, if the oppo need 41 off 3 balls, then it's another matter.
Also, that Worcestershire are the 12th different team to win the English T20 competition in 16 seasons. Shows how competitive it is and unpredictable.
Well, thank you, Andy. That's
it's been a pleasure, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll let you go. Well bent down over our podcasting machine. I know it's not easy after a long, hard day. We're all a bit tired and shagged out after a long squawk. And this will happen. It's been a long, long day. Right, so let's go. Let's go back to Worcestershire, the winners. This has been a triumph for youth, but for organisation, hasn't it? It's been a triumph for captaincy. It's been a triumph for Moeen. It's been a triumph for the Romantic. Ultimately, this is a side that lost its coach or divested itself of its coach at the end of last year. They make a big noise about how the fact that there are 9 homegrown players, certainly in their kind of championship side against Surrey the other day. I think there are 8 homegrown from Surrey, 9 from Worcestershire. They're still a yo-yo side in the county championship. How are they going to retain, keep hold of their players and make sure they can move on from this and not always be a cuspy kind of team, Paul?
Well, they're not the sort of county from whom their players are free, from whom the players are frequently tempted. I mean, one can think of Tom Cole Cadmore, and there is some talk
Joe Clark
moving on. But when they won the second division title last year, they had 10 out of the 11 were from the academy when they beat Durham, and the 11th was Ravi Ashwin, which isn't a bad 11.
Yeah.
I don't think they have. I think you've got to bear in mind they're still quite a young team. I mean, you've got Mitch, who's going to be something like 34 in November, and is still racing around like nobody's business and doing a heck of a job for them. And they've got an academy that is still working for them and still producing good players. One of them, in a way, I don't want to talk about other things but T20, but Dylan Pennington, that we've all, that a lot of people have seen. And
well, we might start seeing him in T20, mightn't we? I mean,
well, there's some talk he might get in there, but I tell you, it's all right me saying Worcester are a decent young team.
Yeah.
But on, when was it? I'm losing track of time. Thursday right. afternoon, the coach of the current county champions, Alex Stewart, was saying what a good team Worcester were and how they didn't deserve to be relegated. If we had... Yeah.
If you look at the county championship, I mean, they gave Surrey 2 tough games. They never looked like losing the first game of the Oval. And they were on top for much of that game at Worcester. So... Yeah, I don't want to go too far into four-day cricket, but I asked you the question about them as a squad generally. They do appear to be doing a lot of things right, aren't they?
I think they're doing an awful lot of things right. I'd bring it back to this because it's a theme that's been, you know, we've had 24,000 people here who've enjoyed themselves absolutely massive. So they've enjoyed themselves hugely. But it's interesting, this thing about enjoyment, because... In a way, with Worcester and Sussex, and I think Somerset too, the ethos is, if you enjoy it, you'll be successful. Whereas other teams, I won't perhaps mention too many, other teams, you'll enjoy it if you win.
Northants are a great example of a side that enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I mean, this year they've had a diabolical time, and if we think...
That's
true. We're allowed to just look back occasionally and take little bits out of this year's tournament. They had a diabolical tournament. They play T20 until this season with joy, didn't they? And made the most out of their resources.
Interestingly, there was a player from Warwickshire who was on loan to... I'll name him in a moment. I haven't just forgotten who he was.
No, you're just a teaser, aren't you?
Well, possibly I am, yes. Yeah. But there's a player from Warwickshire who was on loan at Northants and played, I think, one championship game for them a couple of seasons back. It was 2 seasons back when they won this. And, the fireworks are going off jolly well. Good heaven, it must be the start of the 100. He played one championship game for them, and he said to Alex Wakeley, "I've never had so much fun in all my professional career." And curiously enough, that was Laurie Evans. You're absolutely right about Northants, and anyone who visits Wanted Road will get that vibe from the place. and will see the enjoyment that they take out of it. But it's just as true, I think, in Worcestershire, and it's absolutely the way in which Sussex play their cricket. And as we see now, what a great sight this is, because Worcestershire are, and who would have
been presented with the trophy? Dan Presented, is this is live. You're getting trophy. Live. You're getting live commentary here. As the Vitality Blast is about to be lifted up before our very eyes. I say it's live, you'll be listening to this way after the event. But they are all gathered in a rather small and modest podium. They're just about able to stick in there, and now vast quantities of champagne are being thrown all over the place. So the man who probably did most of all to make it possible, Moeen Ali, won't be in that picture, because he does quite understandably make himself scarce when the champagne is sprayed around. But it's, you know, fair play to Worcester. What I would ask, because I'm not going to give you a free pass on enjoyment, Matt Roller, it's a bit easier to enjoy your cricket when you're winning your cricket. It gets very, very difficult to enjoy it when you're not. And I should imagine if you ask the guys at Northants this year, with the best will in the world, they have not enjoyed it. They have been attacked by social media. I mean, Middlesex. Middlesex looked like a team who were loving their cricket when they won the county championship 2 years ago. I bet if you walked up to their players right now, they'd say this season has been tough, arduous, unpleasant. We haven't enjoyed it. There's a bit of that involved as well, isn't there? We get to see the fruition of success, and obviously we're looking at a lot of players, a lot of smiles on their faces.
There is, of course, but equally, going into this game, all four of the teams that were playing today had just come off the back of defeats in the county championship. Let's bear that in mind.
Oh, nice thought. Hadn't even considered that.
Plus,
you're nodding your head. You didn't mention it. You could have mentioned it earlier.
I knew. I was just giving Matt a lie.
I like that. That's
plus, of course, Worcester, you know, they've come off they've come into this game and into this day off the back of two defeats that have probably realistically sent them down to Division 2 yet again. They've become this sort of perennial yo-yo club where they're relegated every other year. They've probably, have they won two championship games this year, I want to say?
They have won two. But they come so close to winning three others.
True, but, you know, they've not been winning every week.
No.
But they have found a way to turn that into a positive ethos. And you look at the fact that Lancashire have had a fairly similar season in terms of results. They probably didn't do quite as well in the One Day Cup, but in the fact that they've got to today and they're in a very similar position in the championship where they're likely to go down. And you look at some of the vitriol that was directed at, you know, Toby Lester's way on social media early today. Paul and I were scrolling through some pretty horrible stuff said for a young guy.
Oh, dear me.
And yet, you know, these Worcester fans, I can't imagine that there would have been much said if they'd lost this their first semi-final to Lancashire.
Well, they're the loveliest team ever to go and play against. You know, and I don't mean this nastily, but you go to Essex and Kent and Surrey as well, it has to be said, and to a degree Middlesex, Lancashire and Yorkshire, you will find very partisan fans who are very passionate about their team. You go to Worcester, and there's a very much more generous and gracious atmosphere, I've found, that they put up with failure, and they also, you know, they heartily and generously clap their opponents. It's a different kind of feel, isn't it? And maybe that's because their expectations are always that little bit dampened by the wealth they have, the ground that they play in, the history of success. I don't know.
I was hugely impressed at Worcester. I covered the Royal London semi-final against Kent, and in that final, over Haino Koon was dismissed, and it looked as though even though he was dismissed, that Kent were going to win, as they did, and the Worcester supporters stood and applauded Haino Koon from the
ground. I remember that.
Thought, well, that's just wonderful. And is an indication of, I suppose, the best spirit that informs our game. Now, it isn't true in certain other counties. And I wonder what the people who were heaping vitriol on Toby Lester, who, after all, didn't want to bowl that over
he was bowling because Faulkner was injured.
That Ben Cox milked. Yeah. I wonder to what extent they think they're helping that cricketer. I wonder to what extent they think they're helping Lancashire cricket. And there are other counties. And you feel if you went, if Worcester have done magnificently, but maybe it's obviously a team thing. But if you did a match-up of that Lancashire team against the Worcestershire team that they were playing, you would think that Lancashire would win.
Well, but maybe, they, yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's a very good question. Or do we think that because teams like Worcestershire are perennially undervalued? We don't truly understand how good they are because not enough journalists are out there writing about Pat Brown, about how good he is. I mean, Joe Clark's been getting some raps. And, you know, today, Joe Clark is one of a phalanx of good young players from a generation 23 and younger who are really promising prospects for England. But today, he wasn't the big difference today. You know, Brett D'Oliveira, who's been superb all season, his leggies didn't really come off today that well. He was run out without facing a ball in the first match. Didn't really start in the second, despite his wise old head. It was Moeen Ali, but it was Pat Brown. It was, we all know about Moeen Ali, but there were some unfashionable. Yeah, Ben Cox has been mentioned by county cricket writers quite a bit. Never mentioned really on radio and TV. You don't really hear him talked about as, you know, when people talk about the great line of wicketkeeper batsmen that England currently have at the moment, the likes of, you know, Ben Foulkes and what have you, as well as Butler and Bairstow, no one really mentions Ben Cox, and yet he's pulled off some stunning innings this year in both 50-over cricket and in 20-over cricket. Is it just that, you know, we're to blame, actually, in a way? Or is society to blame? Who's to blame, Matt, for not truly recognising? And I wanted to broaden it to not just Worcestershire, but Sussex as well, because, again, Sussex's main contributors today, for me, I thought, were once again Laurie Evans in the second match, but Danny Briggs, you know, Will Beer. These are guys that they got mentioned a few years back for England contention, but they're nothing like as sexy as Timothy Mills, Jofra Archer, Chris Jordan, who can bowl 94 miles per hour. Jordan bowled an over today that was matchlessly brilliant. He bowled an over of six Yorkers. He bowled the over that all people say, well, if you can bowl the Yorker, why don't you bowl it six times? Well, he did bowl it six times. But I'm arguing against myself, but to me, it was Briggs and Beer were really crucial today, and they don't get talked about a great deal. Are we just to blame for sort of having a bit of a Duncan Fletcher mindset? We love to see the pace. We love to see the sort of the power, and forgetting that there are other noble virtues in cricket as well.
Well, I think it depends what mindset you have. I think there are a lot of people who are international cricket fans first and county cricket fans second. I think the people who are county cricket fans first a lot of the time will appreciate more the skills of people like Danny Briggs, of Laurie Evans, of even someone like Luke Wood. I was just thinking when you were speaking.
Oh, he's superb too, isn't he?
Thinking there when you were speaking about Worcestershire, I think also it's very impressive how well balanced their side is between youth experience and also sort of short-term recruits, because Luke Wood is 23, not getting in the Notts team, and it would be very conceivable for Luke Wood to have played a summer of second team cricket, not really enjoyed himself and kind of fallen by the wayside, but instead he's taken a good career move, gone down the road to Worcestershire, and has had a very impressive season. I think he bowled 0 for 24 in his four overs in the final today, which is a pretty good effort. And also in terms of their overseas recruitment, I think they've been very good in terms of getting people into the club who buy into that collective ethos. We've talked in previous pods about Callum Ferguson, who's back as full-time overseas player next year. And then equally, people like Wayne Parnell, who in sort of, you don't necessarily think of, you know, a big, muscly, tattooed seamer as someone who's going to come in and buy into the whole Worcester New Road, Quaint's Cathedral ethos.
Yeah.
But
well, they've got a large Premier Inn as well. They've got a bit of brutalist architecture there.
They've got a muscly, tattooed Premier Inn.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I,
in Worcester.
Dan, can I just interrupt just for one moment to say that the Worcester team have just done an alfresco performance of their victory song, "The Worcester Boys Are Happy, The Worcester Boys Are We."
Oh, how lovely.
"The Worcester Boys Are Jolly Good Boys and Jolly Good Boys Are We," in front of their supporters. Which I think is a, and there are.
Well, it's their first appearance at finals day.
And they've made
the absolute best of it, haven't they?
To Derbyshire, the only team that
the only ones left, are they?
That haven't yet made finals day.
Right, I want to do a quick summation of this year's tournament, and we'll start with today's finals day. So, just to remind everybody, two semi-finals today. Worcestershire beating Lancashire in a good game, a very good game, but Worcestershire quite definitely the better side.
Yep.
Moeen Ali,
was a difference. He made a difference with the ball. Sussex beating Somerset, that I think we always thought was going to be the game of the day in many ways, because the all-powerful Somerset batting line-up, the second fastest run scorers in the tournament this year against the best bowling attack possibly in world domestic cricket, and it didn't disappoint. It was a great game of cricket for a lot of it. 202 runs scored by Sussex, and then a fabulous partnership that was broken the moment it was broken, that fifth wicket partnership, wasn't it? And then everything went horribly wrong, and then we had a final, and a final that I think most people around the ground expected Sussex to win. The fact that they didn't, it's no disrespect to Sussex, they played pretty well in the game, but what they did do twice today was fail at the death. Their last five overs with the bat on each occasion let them down. In the first game, they could have scored 230, frankly, but they were restricted to 202. In the final, they ought to have cruised to 180, but in fairness, they came up against some very good bowling from Pat Brown. We've talked about him. So Worcestershire have won. Sussex have come second. They're going to be happy with that. What I want us to think back now on is that these are our last thoughts on for my money, has been a splendid Vitality T20 Blast. But I want to start with you, Matt. What's going to be your takeouts from this year's tournament? And, you know, think as wide-ranging as you want.
Yeah, I think there are probably three main things. I think to start with, we've mentioned it so many times over the course of the tournament. We've had leggy watch all tournament, but I think wrist spin has played a huge role. I think 16 of the 18 teams ended up using a leg spinner in some capacity, if we're being generous with inclusions.
Borthwick, you mean?
Yeah. Right. Jake Lintott at Gloucester as well.
Okay,
But I think wrist spin has played a huge part. You look at Matt Parkinson, Max Waller, and then Imran Tahir, Ish Sodhi, Rashid Khan, of course, not forgetting Will Beer. The list goes on. Wrist spin has played a huge role. The second one, of course, is powerful batting lineups. I think the Blast, partly by virtue of a few smaller grounds and flatter wickets, has been a hugely high-scoring league. It's been very entertaining. And then thirdly, I think, has been this constant tension between the unfashionable county success and the impending doom of the 100, which I think has been a narrative that it's been played up a bit over the course of the summer. But equally, you know, you look at the success of Worcestershire, Sussex, Somerset, even Gloucestershire. Derbyshire gave a pretty good account of themselves.
They all four, didn't they? You can pour me my last glass of wine while I agree with you there, because actually they really did. I got the sense that the county fans were rebelling against the 100, and the players themselves were too. Those counties that you've mentioned felt that they were on a mission to prove something in this tournament because of that looming presence of the 100. I felt social media was full of that. I felt that there was so much of, it was like a ghostly spectre that hung over the whole tournament. Did you get that sense at all?
I think a little bit I did, yes. I think we've got to think in a sense of historical perspective and how long it takes for a tournament to become established. The Gillette Cup, when it began, actually wasn't the Gillette Cup, but it took 3 or 4 years.
65 overs to start with.
It started with 65 overs, and was regarded in Wisden as the English knockout cup.
Yes.
The new knockout cup, and, you know, 180 off 65 overs was going at something. Now, it takes a while for any new tournament to catch hold. The T20 began in 2003, and for 3 or 4 years it was regarded as hit and giggle. In the past decade, the counties have learned how to sell it, attendances have gone up, and suddenly we've got this tournament that is popular and getting more popular, and so what we have done is invented a new tournament. To compete with it.
I think it's a bit more complicated than that, but I do believe that is a perception that exists around the counties. And I think that has been really prevalent throughout this year's tournament. Now,
there's one other point that I'd like to make just on the Worcestershire, and the supporters are still cavorting around the place, and they might not leave until October, as far
and
as
why
I
should they?
And indeed, why should they? Especially as it's Warwickshire, a place for which they always have had a deep fondness. The other thing is that actually, Worcestershire overseas players, and yes, it's been the year of, as it were, the Afghan leg spinners, yeah. And I think that has been a wonderful breath of fresh air. I hadn't seen I'd nipped down to Hove to see Rashid Khan bowl against Glamorgan.
I was there with you, and it was startling.
And it was remarkable.
You see him in the flesh.
It was remarkable stuff. The other thing, however, that I did see, and I've seen a fair bit of Jofra Archer, and this week I'm hoping to see more. Well, I'm going to see more. Presumably he plays, because I'll certainly turn up if he does, at Hove, is that I saw Jofra Archer's played some remarkable cricket this summer. This today has been a rough day for him.
But he's still a remarkable talent.
It's one other thing. Yeah. Worcester, a bloke we haven't mentioned, but I would imagine his rating is sinking a few tubes as we speak. Worcestershire have won it without Callum Ferguson.
Yes. A lot of people didn't think was going to be possible, and because he's held so pivotal.
He's held many of their innings together.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, oh, they haven't got Callum Ferguson, and there was a doubt against D'Oliveira, there was a doubt against Joe Clark, because they had both got back problems, and there they are.
Well, look, for me, I've got to say, I think it's been a vintage T20 tournament this year. It's been graced by some of the best players in the world, the best batsman in the world, Aaron Finch, the best bowler in the world, pretty much, Rashid Khan, real stars like Jofra Archer. So many of these guys that have been on show in these 18 counties will be seen in the IPL, they'll be seen in the Big Bash League. As a format, I think it would be better, further compressed even, if possible, in a way. I think it needs more visibility still, which is another reason why I can understand why the ECB are trying to find another way of creating, whether it needs to be another tournament or not, but creating the top of a tournament that is more visible to a wider population with a narrative that works a little bit more easily. There was still a bit of chopping and changing. There was still a bit of four-day county cricket suddenly appearing out of nowhere and then disappearing again, which I wasn't too pleased about. But what I did enjoy is that everywhere we went, and part of it was been a vintage summer. It's been a glorious, hot, magnificent summer, the hottest summer of my life, and I was around in 76. So that has also got to be said, it's helped enormously. It's swelled the crowds. More people than ever before have been to watch T20 Blast action this year. And we've got a finals day that didn't quite deliver the ultimate nail-biting finish, but it created three games that kept us interested for pretty much 90% of them. It only became clear what the result was going to be with two or three overs to go. I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed making this Talking T20 podcast. Enormous thanks to Matt Roller for taking his time after what has been, it's the longest day in cricket. It's basically, it's like D-Day. And if you've ever seen A Bridge Too Far, it's like, if you imagine watching A Bridge Too Far three times back to back. That's what finals day feels like eventually when you're done.
I'm just grateful it's not been like the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan.
There was a bit of that actually at one point in this game when the Beamers were being bowled. Yeah. But Paul Edwards, thank you ever so much. It's the end of another season. One gets misty-eyed. There are two more rounds of County Championship cricket, but in terms of big, glamorous, nighttime, Sky Entertainment, BBC TMS, the whole kit and caboodle, it's all coming to an end. Autumn is around the corner, the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. But it's going to be Worcester that will be. Well, do they drink cider in Worcester? They're close enough to Somerset.
I think they'll be drinking more or less anything tonight, to be perfectly honest.
Anything and everything. From us, it's time for us to say goodbye as we pull down the curtain on another T20 blast. Thanks ever so much for listening. Until next year, bonne nuit.
You are listening to ESPN Crick Info.